So there's a quote by, and I'm going to mess it up. So there's a quote by a poet, William Carlos Williams, who if you have not read, even if you don't like poetry, I recommend, because his poems are short, and they're easy to understand, and they're wonderful. And the idea, the quote is, no ideas but in things. And it's sort of become a maxim in the creative writing world, which means that your writing will be more effective and your expression will be more effective if you describe these things through the channel of objects rather than vague, nebulous ideas. So instead of saying, it's awesome, you know, which it is, you could say something like, the sunset glows not with the orange sheen of the fruit itself, but with the pale, non-committal color of an orange popsicle melting along the sidelines of a pink satin gown. So when you hear that, you have an idea in your mind. You can see the orange popsicle melting on something, and you can see the contrast between something sticky sweet and lustrous as pink silk. And when you do that, what you're doing is you're tapping into the world of everyday objects. Because that's what we live in, right? That's the world that God has created for us. It's made up of chairs, and it's made up of echoes, and it's made up of cups and broken tires and junk, glorious, wonderful, rust, tetanus-inducing junk, right? I feel you on the junk part, Mike. I got that. And so when we can look at these things and we can put them to task and make them work a little harder, make them the vehicles for our ideas, then what that does is a lot of things. It makes our writing more effective, yes, but it's also a way in. It's a way into the experiences that seem to escape easy definition or escape, you know, years-old cliches and platitudes that you hear over and over again. It's a way to hook us and hook ideas and hang them up on a shelf the way we would with our finest garments. And so that's what I sort of, that's what I do. That's what connects me to the world. Because as a writer and as someone who's sort of shy, I tend to live in my head a lot. And what writing forces me to do is draw those experiences out and pull them out in a way that I can connect with other people. Because that's what words are. They connect us to those objects that God created and that the world around us allows us to experience. Because if I were going to write a poem about, say, a guitar, or say I was going to expand on that ice cream idea about the sunset, what I'm doing is I'm putting those words down one by one. I'm putting something that's inside of me that's hard to conceptualize otherwise. And I'm giving it to you, and I can say, look, this is what I feel. This is what I see. Do you see the same things? And you can read it, and you can agree or you can disagree. But in that moment, when you are running your eyes over that page, and the letters and every word are going into your brain and translating and combining in a million different ways, I think count has it is over 600,000 words in the English language, and the fact that you can put those together in a million different ways like a Rubik's Cube, and then you can hand that off to someone, and we get a little bit closer to each other. We get a little bit closer to understanding what someone else who might have no idea what it's like to be me, and I might have no idea what it's like to be him, but we can connect in that moment. We can look at the same object and say, that's our world. It's shared. And that's why words are so powerful. And so I'm going to do something else. I'm going to read a poem that I wrote. And when I'm reading it, I want you to think about the specific words and images, the specific no ideas but in things aspect that William Carlos Williams was talking about. And I want you to connect those images to what you're feeling and think about whether these images are something that exists in you already and how this poem is working to do that. And it took me 7 years to write, so if you don't feel anything, pretend for me. All right. So a little background about this. I'm going to use a pseudonym, but I have a friend, and about 8 years ago, my friend friend, let's call her Kara, her younger sister, who was 14 years old at the time, was murdered pretty brutally by a man who was much, much older than her. And at the time, it was such a shock because this girl was so young, and we were young at the time, too. And I knew my friend pretty well, but I didn't know her sister that well. And so I had this overwhelming grief and this sense of injustice about it all, but I didn't know if the grief really belonged to me because I didn't know her family, really. And so it was just this really big, cloudy bluster of emotions, and I couldn't quite figure out how to express that. And so I wrote this poem, and I think finally when I finished it, I had this sense of catharsis, that this is what it means to experience grief that might not be your own. So I'll read it. It's called Displacement. I didn't know what you meant until after the funeral was over. Your mother and sister at the dining table lighting cigarettes, one after another, smoke surrounding their heads like a mourning veil. Your sister whispering that she couldn't do it yet. Couldn't push past the doorknob into your room and pull to pieces the world you left behind. Socks heaping over the hamper. Half-full sodas on the nightstand. Orphan keychains. And I knew then what an intruder I was, but still sitting there, imagining an untouched vacuum of things so heavy that no one could pick them up. I felt everything I knew I had missed in knowing you. Forgive me then for the guilt I've carried around in the years since I last sat beside the ones who loved you best, wishing for a key or a hair clip of yours to wrap my fingers around, or for a pocket to keep it in. I only wish that I had known the weight of you displacing, the lightness of my hand, the shape indented into my skin as if it always was, like you've been my own. So, I want to give you a little bit of experience of this, so that if you've heard a lot today and you have your own ways of worship, but you maybe want to try out something different or you want to write down something as you're going along and try to experience the world in terms of the object that it grants us, then you'll have somewhere to start. So I'm going to pass this out. And I have here some writing prompts for you, and I also have some blank paper, so I'm going to make sure you get some of both. If you need something hard to kind of write on, we've got clipboards and pens. So if you need something like that, raise your hand, and we'll be around to try to help you.